As we prepare to celebrate the Holy Eucharist of Christ's birth, let us remember before God his pure and lowly Mother, and all those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light. That multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom, in this Lord Jesus, we forevermore are one.
Thank you.
The Almighty God bless us with his grace. Christ give us the joys of everlasting life. And unto the fellowship of the citizens above, may the King of angels bring us all.
Amen. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Praise, honor, and glory to you, Holy Crown of the
Thank you.
Blessed be the one holy and living God. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we who have known the mystery of that light on earth may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns one God in glory everlasting.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. A reading from Paul's letter to Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age, to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is He who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for Himself a people of His own who are zealous for good deeds. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
To the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I've been thinking a lot about a phrase, a line from a piece of Christmas music, and I want to share it with you and then have you share it back. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices.
A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices.
I like that line. I think of that line a lot. And I've been thinking of that line because it says something. First of all, it says there are things that make the world weary. And we all know what it's like to be weary. But it also says that there is something about the arrival of Christ which brings a thrill of hope, which overcomes weariness with rejoicing. And that seems significant to me. So let's use that line as our refrain for this sermon together. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. One of the things that makes the world weary is money. Money makes us weary. Balancing your checkbook is rarely an energizing activity. Right? Money makes the world weary. And it's the many things about money that make us weary. The fear that there's not enough to go around. The idea that no matter how well you handle your money, there's always some turkey who's going to come along and tell you what you could be doing better. So you never feel triumphant about money. Money makes the world weary. Money generates all kinds of conflict and tension around the world. And yet, the Christ, God's creative word made flesh, comes to this couple who don't even have enough status and enough money to get a room in an inn. And the word made flesh is announced to shepherds, laborers who are poor. Whatever it is about money that makes the world weary, it does not capture God's relationship with us. God's relationship with us is not an economic relationship. This story tells us that. We start right out with that startling awareness. God is coming, and God is coming to do something new, and that something new is not economic. It's not going to engage the squabbles and the challenges and the fears that money brings. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. The other thing that makes our world weary is status and power. We're all always trying to figure out how much power we have. And it may be just a little bit of power in terms of an office squabble, or it may be questions of global power and dominance. But we're always interested and always worried about and wearied by power. And we educate ourselves to be concerned about power very early on. At the early service, I asked the children to tell me about Jesus. Who is Jesus? And one of the little children said, "He's the most powerful." And I thought of all of those cartoons about having power that we show our little children. There is no power for Mary and Joseph. I'm sure they didn't want to make the journey to Bethlehem, but they had no choice because they had no power. They had not enough money and not enough influence to get a room. Rooms were being saved for important people who could spend a little more at the inn. Power. Power struggles weary the world. And the Christ, God's creative word made flesh, comes and upends all of those expectations. Those shepherds in the field, they get an announcement from an angel, and then they look up into the heavens and they see the heavenly army. And what is the heavenly army doing? Are they battling? Are they fighting? Are they expressing power? No, they're singing praises. The view that they get is not the strength of the heavenly host, but its worship. They get to see the heavenly army praising, not fighting. Power is one of those things in life that wearies us and wearies our world. And God in Christ comes and upends all of those power expectations and is born in a manger and not in a castle. And speaks the good news to people with no power. Poor people and shepherds. That brings a thrill of hope. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. And what an amazing move God makes in this Word made flesh. We talk about status and power and money, and all of this has to do with having some kind of domain of control. We want to eke out some domain of control in our life where we feel secure, where we feel safe, where we feel like everything is going to be okay. And that's totally understandable, except that all control is a fantasy. And isn't it the case that struggling to maintain so much control makes us weary? Us and our whole world. And so God does this most amazing thing. God trusts human hands to hold their maker. What a startling move on God's part. This is not the sovereign God who needs to be in control of everything. This is a God who's willing to be so incredibly vulnerable, trusting human hands to hold their maker. The relationship that we have with God is not one of control. It's not one of dominance. It's not one of power over. It's not one of God pulling the strings and us getting in line. That's not the relationship that you get when God trusts human hands to hold their maker. The relationship you get when God trusts human hands to hold their maker is a relationship of vulnerability, of cooperation, of mercy and grace and forgiveness. That's the relationship that God and humanity have. And we resist it. We resist it because it implies that we have to work with God. It calls us to step up to our better selves. It's a challenge, but not the kind of challenge that comes from power over, but the challenge that comes from vulnerability, from shared power, and even shared weakness. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. A weary world can rejoice at the news that we could bring of the birth of Christ. And a relationship between the divine and the human that's not economic, that's not about dominance and control, that's not about influence and status, but a relationship that's defined by sharing, by vulnerability, by companionship. A relationship that undoes all of those things that make our world so weary. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices.
As you are able, please stand and join with me in proclaiming our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God,
eternally begotten from the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Good and gracious God, on this holy night you gave us your Son, the Lord of the universe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Savior of all lying in a manger. On this holy night, draw us into the mystery of your love.
Let us pray for the Church around the world as it celebrates the birth of Christ. Bless Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, Michael and Frankie in formation for holy orders, and all those who are entrusted with Christian ministry.
Let your word be proclaimed with truth and courage across our world.
Bestow your wisdom on Donald, our president, and all who govern.
Grant that all may live in the peace of this holy night.
Let us pray for all who are cold, hungry, or alone this night, especially those who have no place to lay their heads.
Grant that they may feel the hope and comfort of this holy night.
Let us pray for all who are addicted, anxious, depressed, or ill, remembering especially Ben, Peg, Linda, Quinn, Sandy, Judy, Jessica, Glenn, Kay, Bob, Lynn, and all those whom we hold in our hearts.
We ask for healing, hope, and happiness.
We pray for those who work for peace and for all who served in our armed forces. Courtney, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, and Stephen. We also pray for ourselves and for the blessings of Christmas.
Open our hearts to your presence, that we may be transformed by your love.
Let us give thanks for all the departed, remembering especially Quay, Ken, and Arlene. They have been bearers of the word made flesh for us.
As they join the heavenly host in singing the glories of your grace, grant that we may feel the comfort of this holy night.
O God, who wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature, Grant that we may share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity. Your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the newborn Christ be always with you. Christ is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be born for us, who by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become your children. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." We remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Mary, Joseph, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing.
Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Let us pray. Infinite, intimate God, in this Eucharist we have celebrated your presence with us. May we grow in the divine life of Christ, who humbly shared our human life. Fill us with joy and send us out to share the good news with others. We ask this through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen.
Please be seated.
Thank you, everyone, for being here with us this evening. We want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Enjoy time with family and friends and other loved ones, and have a safe and wonderful celebration. I want to say thank you to the choir, to our brass, to all the folks, and especially to Carrie, who has just led us in such beautiful music. So thank you all. And our acolytes, who are wonderful and doing lots of cool stuff. Really appreciate that. Invite you to stand for our festival blessing of Christmas. Those of you who know me know that festival blessings require the loudest possible amens that you can make. The job is to wake the neighborhood. Let them know that Christ is born. May Almighty God, who sent his Son to take our nature upon him, bless you in this holy season, scatter the darkness of sin, and brighten your heart with the light of his holiness.
Amen.
May God, who sent his angels to proclaim the glad news of the Savior's birth, fill you with joy and make you heralds of the gospel.
Amen.
May God, who in the Word made flesh, joined heaven to earth and earth to heaven, give you his peace and favor.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever.
Amen.
Thank you. let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Alleluia. Alleluia.